Hearty welcome to our guest tonight, Mr. Tim Kutsia, like I said, from Action SA. How are you, sir?
Good day, Papla and Justin. I'm good. By the grace of God, I'm always good.
No, glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Tim, tell us about yourself, your background, your interest in politics, and how you fit into Action SA.
Papla, first of all, allow me just to greet the listeners and to tell you that it is indeed good to speak to you tonight.
Thank you.
My name is Timothy Kutsia, and I was born in a place called Kafda in Cape Town. And from there, we moved to Lavender Hill. Always very actively involved in politics, especially with the ANC, knowing that Mandela was going to liberate us at the end of the day. But then, you know, I was involved with the 76 riots, with the 1980 boycotts, etc., in Cape Town. From there, we moved to a place called Strandfontein.
Okay.
And then I moved eventually to Kimberley after matric. I went to Perseverance College of Education, where I studied for 4 years to become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I then eventually started at a primary school. I believe that I must not be at the high school, because at the primary school, you can still tell kids what to do and they will listen.
Mm.
And from there, I went to the tertiary institution and lectured art, history, and biblical studies. About 3-4 years ago, I moved to Pretoria, and I am still this side. And I'm married to Carmen Kutsia. We live in Tigris Avenue,
right, here
in East West. And currently, I am serving as one of the pastors at One Touch Ministries in, what's the name of the place, in Eastland.
Okay.
And what I've then decided, you know, I was always involved with the ANC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I believe the ANC had dismally failed us. And with the last elections, I did not vote for them. That was actually the first time, because I realized I'm sick of corruption.
Mm.
I cannot vote with my heart, as it were, anymore. I must vote with my mind. And but then this opportunity came along of Herman Mashaba. We know Herman Mashaba. He was the former mayor of Johannesburg under the DA, and he eventually realized that that party was not for him, because, you know, I was never going to join the DA, because realizing, although they got the so-called colored vote in Cape Town, we don't really see that they are fully representatives, because the demographics in that place is definitely the colors outweigh all the other people. And then I've decided, no, I am not going to go for those people. And when Herman Mashaba came along, I said, this is it. So I'm quite actively involved at the moment. We have a person who is a ward coordinator here by the name of Novena Pillay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I am the constituency campaign manager. And I have basically 9 wards under myself,
right,
which is, we are 43. So it's 41, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and then also 89 and 91. So from here, it goes right up to Centurion. And that is done on a voluntary basis at the moment. There's no remuneration. But I'm doing it for the passion. I'm here to serve the people. I'm here to help. So these ward coordinators in my constituency will basically report to me.
Okay.
Certain targets will be set, which we must attain at the end of the day. So targets that we have at the moment is how many people we can get to sign up as members for the party. So that is basically my story in a nutshell, Papla.
All right.
Justin.
I just want to remind the listeners, if you do want to stay in touch with us or ask some questions, you are welcome to just send us a voice note or even a message on 074-563-5748, or alternatively, just download the Port FM app on the Google Play Store and just click Listen Live. Now, I know that Action SA has been, you know, the problem with the logo has mostly overshadowed Action SA for quite a while. I know that your leader, Herbert Mashaba, is quite active on social media, especially Twitter. I see him tweeting all the time. But can you give us a little background about Action SA and what they stand for?
Certainly, Justin. You see, Action SA, there is a problem at the moment with the logo.
All right.
And they say it's very similar to POA's logo.
Yes.
Now, I've had a look at it and it's not all that similar.
Yes.
But we've discovered now that we think it's a ploy from the ruling party.
All right.
Because at the moment, most of your ANC cadres are working for the IEC.
Okay.
So there's some way they think if they can get this in the way, then we will not, the people will not be motivated to vote for Action SA.
All right.
So at the moment, we had two options. Mm-hmm. After our last letter that, or the last outcome that was last Monday, what happened then was they've put out a voting poll, if I can put it that way, a poll, that, if I can put it that way, where people had to vote for one of two things.
Yes.
Either we were going to change the logo or we're going to have a court battle.
Okay.
Now, the IEC would want us to go for the court battle because if that happens, then it means we are basically absorbing a lot of time.
Mm.
We're wasting time also, which means at the end of the day, it'll be close to the local election time. Then only there will be an outcome.
Yes.
So more than 90% today voted in favor of change of the logo.
All right.
So Herman Mashaba this morning on Facebook, and we received a formal letter also from him stating that we are going for that option.
All
so
right.
Which means hopefully within the next couple of days we should be sorted, we should be registered. The other thing that I want to mention here is POA has never ever, they've registered, but they've never taken part in any local elections. Now, according to their constitution, the constitution of the IEC, they are not supposed to continue with a party like that. They're supposed to scrap them if they didn't participate in the local elections, which did not happen. So they are playing for time at the moment, and they're hoping that we will say, we're just going to let it go. Bygones be bygones. But we said enough is enough. We can contest the local elections, and I promise you, by the grace of God, we will do well.
All right. And so it's, have you been then registered with the IEC?
We have not yet, I suppose.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
Because of that, those two, the
those two
that, yeah. In fact, the one point that our logo is very similar to POA.
Yes. Actually, I've had a look at the two logos. Yeah. They are
some similarities.
Same, but different.
Yeah.
So I hope you do get a result soon regarding all these irregularities.
Yeah.
There we go.
But what I'm actually
sorry,
seeing,
English.
I suppose, Justin, they're probably going to come with another problem. We hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is where we are, Papa.
Okay.
Good. Tom, I see on your web, there's seven values that your election manifesto, basically, or how you want to woo voters. I want us to go through each one of them and talk about that.
Okay.
I think that will encapsulate about basically what your party stands for.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with the first one of non-racialism.
Hmm.
Isn't all parties saying we are non-racial?
You are so correct when you say that.
Yes.
People are always saying we are non-racist party.
Yeah.
But the problem is we don't see it. You look at the governing party, for instance. They are basically favoring one race. Whether we want to accept it or not, that is the order of the day. You go and you apply for a post. In some cases, they tell you straight, this is not for certain colors. It's just for the one particular color. We're not going to mention the name. So they say it. In other words, they are what we call nationalists. We are not nationalists. We stand for everyone. You see, a nationalist is someone who favors one party or one group over the other. And you can go and look at it. You look at the people who govern us at the moment. It's the majority of them are of the one group. They are corrupt. Okay, we want to speak about that later. But with non-racialism, we mean a society where you are not defined by your skin color. In other words, it should not afford you a privilege to get into a job or into the market. You see, we need to realize that no race is superior to the other. You see, God doesn't see color. You see, he says in his word, Paul writes, he says, there's no Jew, no Greek, no male nor female. But the skin color should not, as I say, and I want to reiterate this again, they should not favor you for certain positions. We know that happens. We say here in action essay, that your ingenuity, in other words, your skills, your values, those type of things, and your hard work should afford one to get an opportunity, to get a job, etc., or a tender. We see people get tenders, nepotism, their families, and all those kind of things. And it's always, in most cases, it's the one race that basically benefit from it. So we need a strong correlation between socioeconomic standing and the race. Another thing is, race, we find out, should not, in fact, it's a primary determinant of the future prospects of South Africans. Mm. So we find out there's this historical inequality. In the past, prior to 1994, let's say prior to 1992, when Mandela was released, we know there was just the one predominant race. I mean, I grew up with that. Mm. Europeans only, non-Europeans in a bus, in a taxi. And we felt that this is wrong. But unfortunately now, we've taken the same things. We are moving with affirmative action. Affirmative action can never, never be condoned. We need to say to one another, the person most suitable must get the job. Not the person because he's my friend. There are unqualified people in the public service. There are unqualified people in government who shouldn't be there. We also find out a thing that has failed us as BEE, Black Empowerment. We find out it's rejected. We as a party, we reject it. We say no to that. We say no to affirmative action. It must be abolished. But we must challenge racism in all its form. I mustn't think, you know, I will never forget. I was working at the Department of Education in Kimberley.
Okay.
And one of the guys had a sticker on his door, which read like this: "Thank God I'm a black man." And it was actually sad. You know, it hurt me to think that we think our race can get everything for us. So here, even in Easterist, the colors are the supreme race, if I can put it like that. But we are here to serve everybody. Whether they are blacks here in this place, Indians, whatever, we are here to serve everybody. Mm. So we say no to racism. We say no to one color. We say, come, let's embrace and let us move together as a unit. Let us stand together as a team. We want to make sure that there's an opportunity for each and everyone in our society.
Before we go to the next point, let's talk about triple BEE and affirmative action.
Mm.
How will the inequalities be restored if we just scrap those things?
Yes.
We don't want to scrap it per se. Mm. But we want to take hands. We can't just give it to the one race. Remember affirmative action, the triple B. The problem there is it only goes to one person or to certain people or to, let's say, you are linked to government. Your surname takes you places. We are not going to scrap it totally, but we are just going to basically right the injustices. We're going to help and we're going to say, not all the people. Look, there's no way that you can just go and do away with people. Now, let's say they are in government. We can't just do away with people. But we can, future jobs that will be advertised, we're going to look at your ingenuity, at your hard work. We're going to look at the color, not only the, in fact, not the color of people, but the person that is the most suited or suitable for the post. So we're not, as I say, we're not going to do away with it because that is going to create a catastrophe. You can think people are going to fight and going to say, but I have a family to feed.
Yeah.
So we will continue with that. But in future, we're going to look at all races and whether the person is suitably qualified or not. We cannot have unqualified people in jobs where they earn 100,000, 200,000 rand per month. I think that is unfair. And then you have the people who are skilled, who are qualified. I mean, we have people with PhDs. We have people with, you know, honors degrees, etc., etc. And they don't get the post. I mean, how many of teachers are walking around and they don't have jobs because people had said to them, you are not free to apply. You know, I worked in, I think, I don't know if I mentioned it, but in Kimberley. And what happened there was one of the guys went to apply for a job. And this guy said to him, listen here, this is only for black people. And this guy asked him, but am I not black anymore? He said, no, you see your color, you are light. We want the dark skin. So we need to set the record straight. Mm. And we need to say to one another, everyone is welcome in action essay, and we are going to fight that the most suitable candidate gets a job at the end of the day. I hope I've answered your question.
All right, but I, for me, Papla and Timothy, I think that what do you say to people who say, but we are correcting, you know, the past, injustices. The injustices of our past?
Yeah.
You know, there's when we look at South African demographics, there's a majority of people.
Yeah.
We know that for sure.
Yeah.
So how then do we correct the injustices of the past? That's just a question from some of us.
Yeah, you see, many people will say, but we have corrected because of the demographics. One specific group who are the majority in the country, they are having the jobs at the moment. But there are people who will feel that, why are we not being looked at? Why is the white man not being looked at? Why is the colored person not being looked at? The Indian person, why are they not being looked at? We can't just say, we mustn't say we've done it or whatever we must do. They mustn't say they're seeing to everybody when they're not doing that. And whether we like it or not, that is what is happening in our country at the moment. One particular race is being catered for. They're being seen to. And the other people, they are just lagging behind. You know, I will never forget. We always say, in the past, we as the coloreds, we were too black to get positions. And now we say, now in the new era, we are too white to get positions. I mean, I tried applying for jobs. My first name is Timothy, my second name is Jacobus, and my surname is Kutsia. And whenever I applied for jobs, I got answers, Papla, not even with my first name, just Jacobus Kutsia, sorry, you were unsuccessful. And then someone said to me, but send your photo. And I said, even if I do that, they will think this is a white man. You understand? So that is the problem that we are sitting with. That happened to me.
Yeah.
Until people knew me, they would afford me the opportunity to come for an interview. And that is a fact. How are we going to correct it? I don't know. But I know as we go forward, we will devise a plan. Mm. Not only us. You see, Action SA started with the people's dialogue. In other words, we took all our things, whatever we want. We wanted them, the people, to tell us what is happening. So I'm sure there's going to be a dialogue again. The people will decide, not the government of the day, like it's happening at the moment. The people at the end of the day will have a voice that was never heard in the past. Now we say, come, get up, say what you want to say. We will accept you for what you say and what you do for us.
Let's have peace, even if in elections, even in campaigning, let's have peace. Port FM. Nearly 22:07 here on Port FM with me, your host, Papla, and Justin, as usual, my co-host. Tonight we're speaking Action SA with Mr. Timothy Kutsia.
Yes.
If you want to ask a question or have a comment, it's the number, the WhatsApp, official WhatsApp number for Port FM is 074-563-5748.
Mm.
So please, any comments that you want to send, if you feel our show needs some vuma, please feel free to say so.
Yes.
If you want to be a guest, if you feel you can contribute to the community of Estres or nominate people or tell us who to speak to, we will gladly do so. We just bounce it off the station manager and then they can make a decision. But this is your station, please, people. It is Sport FM, your Kasi, your Stasi. Be part of it. Feel free. And on this show, we take any comment. We're not shy. If you say we lack this and lack this, we will work on it. We have professionals who train us in the station.
Yes.
So if you want to make a comment, if you want to praise us, you're also welcome to do so. Okay. I said, we now in a conversation with Mr. Kutsia. Justin?
Okay. So... Mr. Kutsia spoke to us a little bit about giving us a background about Action SA. He also spoke a little about himself. So now we're continuing the values of this party. And we want to know what we understand about social justice is, you know, it touches on wealth distribution as well as opportunities and privileges for all South Africans. And, you know, this is such a highly...
debatable.
Yes, debatable. And also...
misunderstood also at times.
True, That's so true. But we, you know, we have to look at our inequalities as South Africa. As you know, this country is wealthy. That's a fact. I remember when I was in my advanced financial class, South Africa was one of the economic examples. Always. Yeah. They always used South Africa. Now, I want to know how ActionSA, you know, what are their views about social justice?
Okay. First of all, Justin, Pablo, we need to realize that the painful legacy of our past has been perpetuated, first of all, by the post-democratic government. In other words, things that they promised, they didn't live up to. So what we're saying is that too many people in South Africa are still without access to education, first of all. Secondly, also to basic services and to proper housing. How can you still, in this time, Justin, get these holes, or what do they call it, the toilets that they have there in Limpopo and
the pit toilets.
Yeah, that one's, when we were on a farm years ago, we used those kind of things. What is happening? Why are those people still at the back? In other words, like in Afrikaans, they say, hulle drink aan die agterspeen. Still doing that. So in other words, for those people, it had not changed. But it's changed for certain politicians. All of a sudden, you hear that politicians, they say, are there still people with these pit toilets? It's like they don't know what is happening.
Yeah.
So we need to understand that they live without education. Children must walk far to schools. Some of them 10 to 20 kilometers to a school. There's no transport for them. If there is transport, then it's one guy with a taxi and he loads 37, 40 children in that taxi, which is a high risk. So basic services, there's nothing of that for many people. Proper housing, there's nothing of that. I mean, you look here in Esteres, you look across the way here, you will see there people have put up an informal settlement there because people are tired of waiting. And yet again, certain people benefit, the others do not benefit. So change must come. We believe that we need to make sure that everybody, there's justice is given to everybody in this country. The focus on the forgotten people. They don't even know of certain people. I mean, you look at the most rural in Eastern Cape. How can those people make a living when there is no one to help them? The gogos that must walk.
Yeah.
That must go sit at the hospital for hours on end. You know, last year when I didn't have medical aid, I used to go to Kalafong. And I would sit there the entire day. And I got mad. What about those young, I mean those old people still, you see? So we need to know that they have a life of dignity. Unfortunately, they do not live a life of dignity because they do not have, as it were, they do not have the basic services. There's no water. So people put up informal settlements and they don't get service. You see, and that is a big problem. People must go into the veld to relieve themselves, and which is wrong. And the ANC said, remember, Mandela said pre-1994, he said there will be free education, there will be free houses, there will be free health services and all those kind of things. Did it happen? It did not happen at all. We must act against all forms of prejudice and injustice. You see, we need to know that when we talk about prejudices, people mustn't be labeled. And they're labeling people because of where you come from, your color, where whatever. They label you because of that, and which is not fair to our people. We must have an inclusive society. In other words, I must not say, okay, Esteres is only for the colored people. Or let's say Mamelodi is only for the black people. No, we should have free access. Wherever we can afford it, we need to go, and that is important. Another thing about social justice is we need competent leadership. We don't have competent leadership at the moment. You see, we need to pave the way to accelerate land reform. Very, very important. In other words, the land must be redistributed, but in a fair manner. ActionSA does not believe in expropriation without compensation. We believe that there must be compensation. And we believe that when you get the farm, you must be paid. I mean, you must pay something. You can't just go onto that land for free. Or if you go on there for free, we need to help you with the skills. Help you. I mean, many people had received tractors. They have received cattle from government. And you go and look at them today, nothing happened because the people don't know how to work it. Secondly, they start selling those farms. And the main thing, as you know, a Chinese man said, teach a man to fish. Give him the rod, but teach him to fish. Don't just leave him with that. Because after a while, of course, he's going to sell that rod. So teach him to fish and he will have a life ahead of him because he will be able to know to fish and give him a market where he can start selling his fish. Mm. So it's very important that land reform can be achieved within the existing legislative framework. And again, I say, competent leadership is needed. The problem at the moment is, I mean, you look at South Africa. Let's face it. The guy is just shifted from the one portfolio to the other. So this guy who was in education, all of a sudden he knows of agriculture. It doesn't work like it. Mm. Look how this woman of Water Affairs, I'm not going to mention the name of last year, how she messed up. A woman who said, listen here, the problem with the apartheid government, they built big dams. They had to build it smaller than we wouldn't have had a problem with water, you know. And that to me is sad. That people who are supposed to be intelligent, who are supposed to be competent, that they can say things like that.
Yeah.
We need to realize we must see to our people. If we don't see to our people, I mean, and they're not doing it at the moment. Mm. It's a shame. You go to the hospitals. Not so long ago, there was a lady in Yesterday, you know about it. Mm. You guys reported on it. The lady in Mamelodi, that they bound to a, they tied her to a chair.
Mm. Mm.
We know the lady passed away now. Mm. But the thing is I know Bandile Masuko, he came and he investigated. But did we hear anything from it? Absolutely nothing. It's about time that we hold our leaders accountable. Mm. We cannot allow this beautiful country to go to the dogs because it is there already. And we need to say to one another, let's take hands. Action SA says, let's take hands. Let's do it together. Let's come to a dialogue. Let's speak about the situation. And let's see if we can get a wonderful way forward. Let's do it together because we believe that in team there's no I. In other words, not one person to do it, but all of us taking hands and we move forward together. Thank you.
Good. The rule of law. That's a contentious issue. Eh?
Yeah.
I think our country has become basically lawless. If you look at the crimes,
sure.
You know, our stats have been for the couple of years now, on average, 58 murders a day.
Sure.
58 murders a day.
Yeah.
So you talk about the rule of law as one of your values.
Mm.
What's your plan with it? What how going to implement it to see that crime is lessened, that we feel safer, especially the women? I mean, the rape cases in South Africa is, I don't know.
Yeah. Papa, I just want to say this first of all. We are in a country that we can call a state of chaos. There's no rule of law. If I can put it that way. Some people might argue there is a rule of law. No, there isn't. We need to, first of all, build a safe South Africa for all. And that is what the ANC had been propagating all the years. They always said a safe South Africa for all. But let's face it, there's no safety.
Mm.
The children walk outside, they are being kidnapped. The women walk outside the way that she's dressed and they blame it on the way that she's dressed. Mm. She has a democratic right to dress the way she wants to, then they rape her. You see, we need to tackle crime and violence. We need to do it together. You see, the justice system, we find out, has failed us. You look at Bushiri now, just to mention one. He got out of this country. Apparently, his truck had been loaded with his cars. It's been taken out of this country. Secondly, his president came and he fetched him himself. And now they want to worry. Sir, I want to say, yes, but how did this happen? In the meantime, the first statesman came to South Africa. Who must he go and see? Of course, he must see the president.
Mm.
So he must have known about it. So he must stop lying to people. And I will say that to his face as well. So we need to prosecute all offenders. The problem is we don't prosecute the people. The drug lords. You look at the arrest. You look at how many of these people, some of them are illegal immigrants in this country. But what they're doing? They're making money off our people. Look at the poor children, the youngsters. Drugs, they are addicts. We need to get rid of them. We cannot have the SAPS in cahoots with these drug lords. Because when they are going to have a raid, They phone them to say, listen here, just start packing your things away. So when the police, the guys that are not corrupt, when they get there, then all those things are gone. And we need to fight against that. But we cannot do it on our own. We need the people to help us. If the ward council is here or whatever, we need to let that person know, listen here, this is what is happening. And we need to go in without informing this SAPS, maybe another station. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we'll have to dialogue on that. We need to jail corrupt officials. We need to jail corrupt politicians. I mean, how can you say that if you have been found not found guilty, but everything points towards you being guilty, then you still say the people, there's some people who had infiltrated the ANC. So we need to realize that. I mean, what didn't this man take? This is Magashule. And he's untouchable.
Yes.
It seems to me like Ramaphosa is basically just the president in name. I mean, if you looked at what happened when they elected him, you could see that margin, that slight margin between him and Dlamini Zuma. Mm. And what I've heard is they said, no, let us rather make Cyril the president, because if we make Zuma here, we won't get people who will invest in the country, because that Zuma name is synonymous to corruption. So they had to get rid of that. Greed and corruption hampers our economic growth. We need to know that. We cannot, if they're stealing like that. I mean, 50 billion rand came in during this COVID time. Huh? They stole it. No account, not 5,500 billion, I think. You look at the monies that they give to Eskom. You look at the money of that they give to these SOEs, these useless, basically dysfunctional SOEs. Yeah. We need to act against it. You see, the ANC is a toothless bulldog. And I will say that again. The toothless bulldogs, they just talk and they don't do anything about it. We must act as one, especially against GBV. Our problem at the moment is we condone it. If that guy is arrested today for physically abusing his wife, in 2-3 days' time, he's out, he's released again. And we need to come to a point where we need to make an example of those people and say, listen here, you've committed this crime, you're going away for 20 years, 30 years, or whatever the case may be, and we must stick to that. The problem is this, we've become lenient on the criminals. After a while, and because it's my friend, it's my bra, so I'm going to make sure I get him out. And that is the problem. Also, at the moment, dockets that are disappearing. I don't know if you've seen the other day on with this court case of Bushiri. Mm. When the judge left, one of the ladies of the court, they grabbed the docket. What she did with it, but nothing happened to her. We all saw it on camera. They had to do something about it. Action SA will act on those things. You see, I said earlier about the girls that are being raped.
Yeah.
You see at the taxi ranks, then what do? They blame it on the way they were dressed. No, we must realize we cannot act on that. We must realize it's a democratic right to dress the way she wants to. We look at the immigration system. It must be overhauled. At the moment, people can just come into this country like they want to. I don't know if the ANC is giving them ID documents at the moment so that they can vote for them, because a lot of people have become, as it were, they've had it with the ANC. So many people are saying that they're not voting for the ANC, or they just abstain from voting. Mm-hmm. You see, we need to attract skilled migrants. Let me give you an example. In New Zealand, what they do there is they advertise for skilled artisans. Artisans, yes. they put those adverts out, and only those people are allowed. Even if they are in the country, what happens? They have a three-month visa. If that visa expires and he's not out of the country, if he didn't get a job, they go and look for that person.
Yeah.
I remember in Australia when I watched this Australian borders things that was on TV. So this Chinese guy got into the country. After 3 months, they checked on the computer system because there's something that alerts him that this guy has to be out of the country. And at that time, he didn't fly out yet. So what they did was they went to his house, and they didn't find him there, but they looked for him for about 6 months, but eventually they found him and they deported him. And that is what we need to do. You see, we stand for those undocumented migrants in this country. We want them deported. We're not against immigrants like many people say. Yeah. They say Action South Africa is against. Our president Herman Mashaba made it clear, those undocumented people in our country. How can you be in the country and, enjoy the benefits of the country and you don't have an ID. Mm. So it's important that we realize those people. Look at Beitbridge. I don't know if you've seen that Beitbridge, what's happening.
Yeah.
They've broken down that fence, the Zimbabweans. They're just coming to this country. At the moment, we have over 6 million Zimbabweans in this country. And we need to apply the rule of law again. We need to say to one another, let's get our trust back in our system. Let us say to one another, no matter what people has done, we're going to correct the problems of the past. But again, we cannot do it on our own.
Hmm.
The people needs to help us. They will need to be there for us. Thank you.
But do you think, though, South Africa has the strength and in our justice system to do what Australia is doing and New Zealand is doing?
I think
in terms of immigration and all those laws?
That is why I said it needs to be overhauled. We need to look at the good system that will work with us, for us. We need to go out and we need to learn from our, the other countries.
Mm.
But I'm sure we have that. I'm sure. But the thing is we have corrupt officials at Home Affairs. People, I mean, they tell the guy, give me 10,000 rand for an ID. We need to stop that. We have cameras where they do it. And yet, nothing is being done. So with Action SA being there, we will make sure that we get these things right.
All right.
Okay, dis interessant. Kom ons speel 'n bietjie.
Lit FM, your kasi, your stasi.
That's the unmistakable voice of Hugh Masekela. And he said, Tumamina, send me. Who are we going to send? Are we going to send Cyril? Are we going to send the DA? Are we going to send EFF Julius? Are we going to send Mashaba? And tell them, listen here, we have sent you. Go now, represent us. Let's have a better life for all of us.
Mm.
The answer is in your hands.
Yes.
You must know who you vote for and why you vote for them, and make sure you vote for the right candidate so that when you send someone to represent you, he have your interest at heart.
Yeah.
Mm.
It is 7:15. Time is flying, yeah?
It Justin? Is. Okay. So, yeah, we're just running down the valleys of Action SA. So now we just want to find out what, if you can give us more clarity about economic prosperity for us South Africans, not only for us South Africans, but for us locally here in Yester. So what does that mean?
Yes, guys, I need to first of all just say what we believe in. We believe in a prosperous, growing and sustainable economy.
Mm.
Not only in South Africa, but also here in Esterus. We can make a difference. The problem is this. There are people here in Esterus at the moment who's taken over. And I'm sorry to say it, but you will find if you go to Mamelodi, you are not going to get a colored businessman there. Because they are going to kick him out. Whether people like what I'm saying or not, that is just the reality. So we need to grow the economy of this Esterus. People, we need to train them that they can become skilled.
Hmm.
We need to partner with private businesses, the private sector, so that they can help to educate these young children. Because most of these kids, we must realize, they don't go to school. And some of them that do go to school, not some of them, but a lot of them also, they finish matric, but they sit at home.
Yeah.
So, and then they don't have the money. The parents don't have the money to take them to a tertiary institution. And most of those kids eventually become dropouts. And it is sad. You see, we believe in a job for everybody, which is going to be tough to attain. Mm. But if we put hands to the wheel, as it were, if we support each other, if we get these people, especially the private sector, to come in and to educate these children, give them certificates so that they know at the end of, let's say, becoming an artisan, a joiner, a bricklayer, or whatever, because not all of us can be professionals. We need to realize there are those people who are also, we need them in the society.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be buildings.
Mm.
So we need to look at them, but we need to act as one. We must not down each other. You know, many people say we all have what is called a PhD. The push him down and the push her down syndrome. We need to uplift one another, as it were. We support a competitive market-based economy with minimal government interference. In other words, as I said, entrepreneurs and private sector people, they need to take hands. They need to work together. Unfortunately, at the moment, government wants to influence everything because they come in, they give Papla a tender. I'm the one who gave him the tender, but I say, listen here, I want choncho. I want to make sure that I get something at the back. We need to get away with that. We need to eradicate that problem. But the most important thing is, as valued, trusted partners, we need to create jobs. Another thing is, every South African in this country must have a job. And if they have a job, they contribute to the economy. Because how do they do it? They pay tax.
Yes.
And in that way, we fill the state coffers with that. Another thing that I want to mention here about what we do is social grants are important.
They are, yeah.
People must be given social grants, but people in this country are getting social grants left, right, and center, and they don't even deserve it. And I'm not scared to say that to anyone. We need to know that you must at least work for what you're going to get. I would then say, government can give, because this is what our take is also, give to people until they have equipped themselves to work on their own. Then they are not dependent on that grant. Many of these people who get the grants, they take it. I mean, I've seen on Facebook how they go with a card, they go to the bottle stores. It's not for that. It's to help the kids and to make sure that those kids at least have a good lifestyle. We say the money is not enough, and I agree with that. But we cannot continue to be dependent. We can't stand, like in Afrikaans they say, bakant. We cannot stand like that every time and expect government just to hand out. We're not going to make it. At the end of the day, there's not going to be enough money. And the other thing is also, we see to these undocumented immigrants. How they get it right to get grants, heaven alone knows. We need to know that we must give it to the most needy, and we must afford themselves an opportunity to become, first of all, self-supportive, to become independent. You see, we need incentives to be given to the private sectors to train these people so that they can become self-sufficient. And it's very, very important. If our economy doesn't grow, I'm telling you, we're heading for catastrophe. Look what happened in Zimbabwe. I mean, $1 trillion is what? 10 rand or whatever in our money. And that is sad if we come to that. We cannot get to a point where people have all these dollars, but there's no food. That is why we must look after those people, the farmers, who's producing. We must look after those people and say, we are going to stand with you. We are going to help you. And that is what we need to do. We can only be economically prosperous if everybody works in this country, because there are so, you know, there's so much of unemployment in this country. It's scary. I mean, I think we're talking about 10 million people who's not working, and that is scary.
Yes.
And Cyril Ramaphosa talks. He talks all the time. That is why I say he's a toothless bulldog. He talks, but he does absolutely nothing. Every time you just hear, we're going to see to the youth, we're going to see people to the unemployed, but nothing happens to it. Thank you.
I think it's important that we encourage also young people in our community not only to await assistance, but to go out for assistance. So I mean, like, you know, we're going to the point of quality education. But as you mentioned previously about the youth year in Yesteris not having bursaries or having exposure to funding for their studies. But I feel like somehow we as a youth, we want to just receive stuff, and we also feel entitled to things. So it's always important, actually, to go out and to seek. That's what I would say, like to seek and look out for opportunities, because they are there. You know, there's some government agencies that are giving bursaries away and they're not meeting their targets, meaning there are not enough people applying for these bursaries. Therefore, we need to seek out these opportunities and not really just feel entitled to it or feel like it will come to us. So I just want to know, what is Action SA gonna do regarding education and providing quality education, even for us here in Esterhazy?
Yeah, education forms an integral part of the country. I will speak about that because that's my passion. I am a teacher,
yes,
qualified teacher, and but I can tell you something that has changed the Poplar. In the past, you know, the teachers did not have a lot of admin work, but now we are basically buried in admin and with admin work, etc., etc. In the past, we just had what is called a record book where we all had all our lessons in a daily planning book, etc. That is all that we've had, and then we had to set our own tests. Now we started with OBE, which dismally failed. Then they went to the new curriculum, the NCS, the new curriculum statement, where they define certain things, but still a lot of assessments that had to be done. So if you don't achieve those assessments, in most cases, you've got to give the child an added opportunity. They call it an expanded opportunity. You've got to give the child to ensure that that child passes. So what happens is, in our schools, the kids are being spoon-fed. The department wants that. If that doesn't happen, then they basically see your school as a non-functional school, per se. And then the guys will visit your school all the time to make sure that you reach targets. Coming back to the system, the system has failed us. We need to realize that we cannot keep a child away from school. Many people, they have their kids at home because there's no bus, there's no taxi, and we know what can happen to them at the end of the day. We know that the social workers can come and they can take their child away. If a child doesn't go to school, then we're infringing on the children's right.
Yeah.
That Bill of Rights, where they say each child has a right to be educated. It's important to note that if a child studies, he will also contribute to the economy of the country. We must make sure that our children get matric. Today, you can't do anything with a matric certificate. You need a degree. But I always say this, and I say it to the kids at school too. You must study to become self-sufficient and not be a government employee. What I mean by that is, we don't earn enough money as teachers. We don't earn enough money. So you become a lawyer, you become a doctor, you become, an engineer, where you work for yourself. And at the end of the day, you determine your lifestyle. But with us, we've got to wait on the government. I mean, look there, we're not even getting increases for the next 3 years, which is unfair. So all South Africans should be able to access a quality education, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, where they live, or what they earn. The important thing is, the government has made certain bursaries available, but they've taken it from the taxpayer. So don't let the ANC fool you by saying, we've done this for the community. They haven't done anything. They've taken it from the taxpayer. And now, Braden Zamandi is saying, I'm busy looking at the pension funds to get bursaries for the kids. So we must be worried about that. You see, we must teach critical thinking. The problem is this, we just stick to the textbook. We must teach them to think critically. Out of the box, we need that. We must teach them entrepreneurial skills because they don't have that. We must empower the people to be active participants of the community, of the economy. Another thing is, classrooms should not be seen as political playgrounds. You see, the unions are running amok in many schools. I've been a learning area manager in the Northern Cape. And when I used to go to these schools, especially in the locations, those people would stand on the corners. They would be discussing things. The principal would pass them. And they wouldn't even care a bit about that guy. Then many times when I go in there and I say, listen, I need to listen to a lesson, they tell you straight, Satu says, we are not supposed to allow anyone in the class. So those kind of things, we need to get out of our situation. I want to mention another thing. We had this leak that you spoke about now.
Yes.
The maths paper that leaked. I worked for assessment and evaluation in the Northern Cape. And I always say this. You see, Papla, the problem is, a week, 2 weeks before the exams start, they take the question papers to a school. They have a safe.
Yes.
So that safe must be cleared. And then they put all the question papers in there with a date when they write. The problem there is the principal is the only one with the key there. Nobody is allowed in there. So if they want to look for the leak, they must go to the principal of that school.
Mm.
We found that many times. That is why I always said, don't take it like that to the schools. Take it the morning when they write.
Yeah.
Get your guys. It's going to be more to pay. And this is one thing that I am going to mention and that I want to foster, as it were, in this new party, where we will say to education, on that very day, you take the question papers to the school, then we won't have leakages.
Mm.
Because, you see, they travel in their car or whatever with the papers in there with security guards. So there's no way that that guy can even open the question paper. And you know what they said? They sell those papers for R1,000. Maybe less at times. And what is sad is nothing happened.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we had the same situation in Limpopo.
Yes.
And they sent guys here from the DBE, here in Struben Street, head office. They've sent them to Limpopo to investigate. So when they got to the school, they started investigating. So they didn't finish everything. The next day, they were supposed to be there again. And you know what happened? That very night, this one guy, he was in his room and he heard a knock. And he wanted to open. The guy said, please don't open. I just want you to know, don't return to our school. Because if you return tomorrow, it's going to be bad for you. That guy got into his car and he got back to Joburg immediately. Because he said he's not going to risk his life. And that is what we're sitting with. Criminals.
Mm.
And we need to eradicate these problems in the education system.
Mm.
The main thing is this. You cannot have a person in charge of education who's not an educationist. We need to know that they've studied that. And they know what to do. I mean, even our very minister, she couldn't even, she said the numbers like Zuma. You know, she couldn't even say it properly. It was last year or the year before last. And this is the people that we're sitting with.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is a joke. We are a joke. So
very
we
laughable.
Need to get our education system on the right track again. And we must make sure that all our kids are in school. So we must make sure that we have programs here running so that we can get our children. The other thing is this, what I want to say is also, I want to actually move within the Action South Africa that we avail bursaries. We speak to businesses and we get bursaries.
Mm.
You see, what many of the schools don't do in our area, they don't tell the children of the bursaries that they can get.
Mm.
Another thing is we must try to get our children away from mathematical literacy, because with that you can't go anywhere. You can't become an engineer. You can't become a doctor. You need pure maths to do that. And many, you know what? Many teachers, they opt for mathematical literacy because they don't want to go the extra mile with the pure maths. They don't want to work so hard. I'm sorry if I'm offending maths teachers, but that is what is happening in our country.
But you think a lawyer needs maths?
I would say he doesn't really, but it is a prerequisite to study law.
Yeah.
They need to do maths.
No, it's not.
Is it?
Uh-uh. Wow. Okay.
No, the problem that I have is I hear what Tim is saying, and I differ with a lot of people about maths.
Okay.
I was a maths hater, even today. because maybe the foundation wasn't laid correctly, because I think I was capable of loving maths if the foundation was laid solidly.
Mm.
But I have a problem when people think like maths is everything. Like I said, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a nurse. I want to be... With the maths learns, I can figure my way out with some calculations. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get someone to run my practice. The books, I will do the law for defending people in court or do my civil law or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just how I feel.
But the person must... Because I hear what you're saying, but then we need to go and find out what the requirements are at the university. You see, they need pure maths to become, but I hear what you're saying. You don't really need it, but that's one of the requirements. A doctor,
definitely.
You must have.
Yeah.
You see, but I know for all these professional jobs, the professions, if I can, engineers, okay, we know they must have maths.
Yes.
But even with that as well, we can even look at it again and we can talk about it again at some time.
No, I just wanted to bounce it off. It's fine.
Okay.
All right. We're just encouraging our listeners to just send through your questions at 0745635748.
Let's have a song. And Lira said she's a believer. I'm always pessimistic. I think I'm an optimist, but the things that are happening in our country makes me a pessimist. And really, I think our country is in the crossroads of big things that's going to happen, either positive or negative. So Lira said we need to believe. So let's believe Lira when she said she's a believer. Now, recently, we had the elections in America. We were all amazed. I had sleepless nights about these elections. That's still not really and ultimately completed. The winner hasn't been congratulated. Mm. But they have a funny system between inverted commas, if I can put it that way. They have like electoral colleges votes where California have about 55. Texas have 28, but Washington, the capital, have 12 votes. So it isn't really on a one-man, one-vote system. If you go back to the times when Trump won over Clinton, Hillary Clinton, she had about 3 million votes more than him. So, you know, that system for us is, I don't know, I must say, I'm going to read up more about that.
Yeah.
I want to read from the start. Why does California have 55 and others have 3 and so forth? But you also talk about electoral reform in South Africa. So what's your take on our system? Not I was just giving a background of the American one, but our system. What's the solution or the changes that you want to reform?
Pabla, we need to realize, first of all, that our party list system at the moment prioritizes representation in the legislative arm at the expense of direct accountability. So what we're saying there is there's no accountability, really. They, in other words, they do as they please, but they don't have to report to the electorate, for that matter, people who had voted them into power. So we need to understand that direct accountability serves the interest of us, the people. Whereas at the moment, we have this legislative arm where this list system that we do at the moment, it basically serves or it helps the politician. Remember, Cyril Ramaphosa will come in because he is the leader of the ANC.
Hmm.
So he automatically becomes
the president of the country.
And then he basically select everybody that he wants in his cabinet.
Yes.
We have no say. I mean, you've got the Zulu, Lindiwe Zulu. She's there since the beginning. She's still there. And, you know, they just continue like that. Now, we say there's no accountability in that way. So what do we stand for? We want the South Africans to have a direct say in electing the public government representatives through proportional representatives. Now, we know what is proportional representatives. We know 50%, if you don't attain the 50%, then you can form a coalition with another party, etc. And that is what happened when the DA took over Johannesburg, when they had this coalition with the EFF.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we find out that is what happened there. But we will adopt a primary election system.
Hmm.
In other words, where we say people will directly elect candidates for the public office. So we might have someone now who is the ward coordinator here for the local elections. But we are also going to have a say from the people. They will decide.
Hmm.
And that is what is called a primary election system, where we're going to say this one will be in charge, in fact, from the people. Who do they want as their leader? You see, like with the DA and with all the other parties, even here in Easterist, we know what happened when the DA, when one guy moved from the DA who was the councillor, and then they just had to put in someone.
Mm.
They didn't have enough people, so they put in the current one. And we know what is happening in Easterist. At the moment, look at the grass. The grass are unkept.
Yes.
Look at the electricity. What happens with the electricity? Eskom every now and again, and then they blame it on load shedding, then it's not load shedding. And in many cases, we know it's outages that happens. But, I mean, our ward coordinator, she sent us example, in fact, photos of how, where the cables underground, how that was basically buggered. Mm. And they had to dig up, and eventually they had to sort out those things first. But if we have, and I mean, you could call this guy, he wouldn't listen, he wouldn't worry with you. Now, we say no to that kind of ward councillors being elected. The people must elect their representative. A person like Novena Pillay, she's always there in the community. She's running with the people. She goes to them when there's problems, they call Novena. Mm. She sorted out this thing in Highlands Park now, I think, where they didn't have electricity for 3 or 4 days. Mm. And she sorted out that thing. She went to the MMC, and that is what we believe in. We don't believe that you, whoever comes into power like the DA, then the DA just say, this person is going to be the ward councillor. And many people don't believe that because we need a strong candidate here in Esteris. We don't need people who's going to compromise. So that is what we believe in, that the people are going to basically vote for their own people. They're going to put their people in power. Thank you.
Okay, the last list of values that you list on your website is more ethical leadership. Is it possible for a politician to be ethical? I mean, really, I think the only politicians that's not corrupt is the ones that are not caught out yet.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. But I mean, really.
Someone once said to me, you know, you want to enter politics, but it is the dirtiest game out there because dog eats dog.
Hmm.
You see, the problem in South Africa is we are governed by unqualified and unethical leadership at the moment. The unqualified, as I mentioned early on, they move from one portfolio to the next. They know nothing about it and they must go learn about it.
Hmm.
You see, the problem is we have unqualified public servants also. We had the state capture in this country and it's still happening. Huh? We have looting of public resources. Are we really ever going to get an ethical person? We need people of integrity. If I look at Herman Mashaba, do you know that Herman Mashaba saved Johannesburg over 83 billion rand when he was in power?
Yeah.
Herman Mashaba went to Hillbrow, where the illegal immigrants are running riot. And he said, he had people deported. But okay, they're back now because they come back because no one, we know who's in charge there now. So that is a problem. But what I'm saying to you is, he is, in my eyes, he is a man of integrity. Apart from being a born-again Christian, he's also a man of integrity. What does integrity mean? It means to do the right thing when no one is watching. And our people are not doing the right thing at the moment. You see, they're looting the public purse. They give in to dysfunctional SOEs like SAA. They're basically just pouring money into SAA and nothing is happening because they're benefiting from it. PRASA, Eskom, nothing good is forthcoming there. They divert funds that's supposed to go to the poor. They take that and they give it to the SOEs. So are they not chowing the money? Well, those people, of course, they are. So it doesn't reach the desired outcome. You see, ethical leadership, with that we need a dynamic, we need an efficient and citizen-orientated public service. If we don't have that, we're not going to win. We need to serve all South Africans' needs, not a few, not a certain group. You see, but we need to professionalize the public sector. How do we do that? By getting qualified people in there, not just anybody. And if you fail once, I mean, I was in Kimberley. And in the one unit, 4.something million disappeared. Those people are still working there. No.
Sure.
Charge them. Bring them to book and let them go to jail. If it's 20 years, allow that 20 years. Don't come in because of good behavior, give them some leniency and take them out. No, we can't do that. You see, the appointments in our public service also, if we want ethical leadership, must be based on merit. I can't just take this person because it's my friend. No. Competence and commitment leads to ethical service. No nepotism, we say in Action SA. We cannot, because my friend or my wife, I cannot just go and give it to, give the position to her. Mm. So we need to become ethical, where we worry about other people. Ethical means moral principles. I must have moral principles, and those moral principles will set me free. I thank you.
Thank you. Let's just go through some questions from the listeners. Good evening. As a community member, I have a concern of groups stopping jobs within the community. What is your take on that and your plans for the community?
Okay. I know exactly what they're talking about. I've watched it on Facebook. It's been viral for a while now. I don't agree with it on the one hand, but on the other hand, to a certain degree, I do also. The way in which it is done is wrong. What must happen is, you see, at the moment, our people are not getting work, which is wrong. I mean, if you go to any other place, if you go to Mamelodi, you're going to find they employing the people of that community or that community members. So the way he's doing is wrong. I would like to speak to him about it so that we can maybe go and speak to those people and find out how did they get into our community. I mean, yes, people who are selling veggies, they're not from this community. People who are selling walkaways, but we can't just go in and just demand certain things. No, we've got to do it by the book. Action SA believes in communication. They believe in dialogue. So we need to go and speak to that people and see if we can right the wrong that has been created, because we need to find out who allowed these people in here, and we need to go and speak to them. And if needs be that we need to get them out, let's do it in a good way, in a civilized way, that we don't create enemies for ourselves.
Okay. Mr. Kutsia, you've been asked the question, how will your party solve crime, and not what the current administration is doing. Please answer the question.
Okay. We need to get police men the way they were in the past. In the apartheid system, sorry for going back to prior 1994, we knew that our communities were safe because there were the police used to patrol everything. Mm. Those years, no dockets were stolen. Criminals were jailed. If a person had murdered, we know what happened to him. But we cannot go that way again where we say, or back to that, where we say that people will be hung or they will get the death sentence, because we will get the international courts on us if we do that. They will even stop investments in our country. But the main thing is this, is we need to teach our children, first of all, how to respect each other. I believe that's a fundamental mind change that have to happen in our society. We must teach our kids, because most of our young kids, they don't care about parents anymore. They don't care about the older people. So we need to start there. It starts at home. And how are we going to eradicate crime? I don't think we will ever eradicate it. It will always be there. But if we know there's a punishment that is fit to the crime, we know people will say, I make an example. Let's say, for instance, someone murders someone. And I say, and we say, we'll send him away. That's what the Action SA believe. We send him away for, we give him life sentence. He's not going to come out. No matter what, let's say, even like we discussed earlier on, if he's here in his 90s, he has 2 years to live, let him just go enjoy that, because he's no risk to the community. But if a person does crime, he must be removed from the society. So we believe that if you rape, I actually believe in castration also. Castrate him and then he can go on with whatever he needs to do. But at least he cannot rape anymore. I believe also if you murder someone, you must go to jail. Send them straight. And then the main thing is this, we're going to try to get these corrupt cops to stop working with the drug lords. And that is a very, very important thing. And we need to also tell these people that the police that are here, if the people of Esteres want to march, then they want to stop them. Mm-hmm. It's your right to march. You can march. So I am prepared to go to them and to fight them. And very importantly, this disappearances of the dockers of the people, we need to get to find out if a guy is found guilty of removing dockets, I believe he must be scrapped from the police system and he must go to jail. I hope I've answered that, listener.
How will your party help or support starting or growing businesses? You just mentioned what's currently happening, but you've not proposed a solution.
Okay. I believe that we need to get people, we must get money to help those people to start businesses. I believe, like, let's say, for instance, these young boys, if I want him to be an entrepreneur, let's say whatever he needs to do, he comes with a proposal to us. Once we have the proposal, we look at it and then we try to find funds so that we can help him with his business. As I said earlier on, we want to see that there are schools, you know, technology, schools of technology here in Estres. Maybe have one school of technology where children can go to. The other thing also, many children, they cannot really perform well academically. They become dropouts. And we don't have a school, an inclusive school, that can help those children to become, technically involved, as it were, in the community. Artisans, that they can do those kind of things. So that is where I will start. Make sure there's artisans. Secondly, we provide monies if we can to for them to set up businesses if they are serious about it. But we cannot be supporting them all the time. They need to become self-sufficient. And whatever their passion is, we must try and find the resources to help those kids.
Good news is there is a facility at Prosperitas High School,
okay,
which was a fully fledged technical high school.
Yeah.
But things went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
So it doesn't exist anymore. Just need funding and a will, more political will, to have it reopened.
Okay, so I undertake to go rigorously into that.
Good.
I undertake it tonight.
Good.
To get that going again. Speak to my leader and tell him this is what we've had and let's do it. At the end of the day, we might actually make that a fully fledged technical school. And then maybe build another high school here, which can take the place of Prosperitas. But then we know that is just for those kids who need to do to become artisans or so on. And I undertake to do that.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
We're going to hold you to it.
You can hold me to that.
Okay.
They must just give me their vote. Then by all means.
Okay. I think this is maybe the last one. It's more comment. Very good interview, Timothy and presenters. Very informative. He makes a lot of sense. This is a man who knows what he wants to say. We need educated and focused leaders. Mm. Go for it, Action SA. Your sister in the Western Cape. I think this is the last question.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say you believe in ethical leadership. How ethical is your team?
Well, at the moment, from what I've seen, is the ones that I've met, because remember, we haven't started too long ago. It's about 3 months that we're operational. Remember, the People's Dialogue started in December of 2019. And then after our dialogue, finding out what the people wanted, we launched the party on the 31st of August of 2020. And what I want to say then is the people that I've met, the ethical people. I mean, John Moody has never done anything wrong in the DA. Abel Tower has done nothing wrong when he was MMC. Our leader, I can just ring his praises. He is a man of integrity.
Mm.
I am one who will see to the poor first. We're not going to take from the poor. We're going to see that they are there. It's one guy, Donald, a man of integrity. So the people that I got to know, I mean, I just looked at the one guy, Jackie, he doesn't even know the people, but he gave them T-shirts and they must still pay him. So that speaks volumes to me. You know, if I might not have said, look, I can just give it to you like that. Who knows if he's going to get his money or not?
Mm.
But he trusted people. And if I trust people, then of course people will do what they were asked to do. Can I just close with something, Papa, if you don't mind?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
For those of you who are interested in Action SA, remember we say act as one.
Mm.
I want to just say to you before I make the statement, you know, a guy by the name of Desmond Tutu, we all know him. He says there are only two ANC politicians. And that is the one who has been to jail and the other one that is on his way to jail. But apart from that, you can think about it. On Saturday, God willing, Saturday is the 21st. We're going to have a gazebo opposite Pick and Pay, next to that guy that sells the veggies. In other words, in front of the flats, opposite the garage. We are going to have a gazebo there with our people, with membership forms. If you are interested or if you like what you've listened to tonight, please come and join us here. And we are soon to give people membership cards. But we want you to join. We want you to make a difference. Mm. Let us act as one. Enough is enough. We need to say, and you know, you can say to me tonight, but what do you promise? We don't promise anything. We want to know from you what you want us to do. You know, Matthew 18:20 says, the Lord came to serve. He did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And that is what we stand for. We want to serve people of Estrus. Please give us a chance. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Timothy Jacobus Kutsia.
Yes.
It was a great honor having you here.
Yes.
You've been very clear on your party stance, what you want, what you stand for. So it is out there for the listeners to make a decision come voting day. I know we're still very far from the elections next year, but the early bird
catches the worm. Yeah.
There you go. Baie dankie nogmals.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was our show, people. Thank you for listening. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 074-563-5748.
Can I just give my number?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to call me, my number is 065-989-7818. I want to repeat, 065-989-7818. If you want any clarity on this wonderful party, this green wave, we're going to take Estrus by storm. I have a feeling everything is going to be okay. God bless you. 065-989-7818, and God bless you once again.
If you didn't get the number, just send a WhatsApp, to our official WhatsApp number, and we will send you the details. Goodbye. God bless.
Word FM, your Kasi, your Stasi.